It is not my intention to go beyond 3 hours to complete the business. If we find ourselves in that situation at 10:30, subject to the council having concluded item 10H on the budget, I will be minded to adjourn this meeting and the remaining business will be considered at the next ordinary meeting on the 30th of April. Please note that this meeting is being recorded and will be made available on the council's public website. But I ask you to turn off your mobile phones, or switch them to silent mode. In the event of a fire alarm sounding, please follow the council officers out of the building and do not use the lifts. Item one, I would like you to invite all those present to stand and join me in a minute's silence as a mark of respect and in memory of former Mayor Denise Grant and also Mrs. Joan Patterson Borland, past mayoress, who both passed away in January 2020. Thank you. Thank you all very much. Item two is apologies for absence. Do we have any apologies?
Yes, Mr. Deputy Mayor, we have received apologies from the Mayor, Councillor Maddams, and Councillor Atwell, Richard and Claire Barrett, Chandler, Gibson, Islam, McElroy, Mitchell, Noble, and Vincent.
Are there any other apologies?
No, Mr. Deputy Mayor.
We now have a late item 2A, application of 6 months rule to Councillor Mary Maddams. The report of the interim monitoring officer is set out in the supplementary agenda at page 3. Can everyone see a copy? A call on the leader, Councillor Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Deputy Mayor. I move that Council approves the absence of Councillor Mary Maddams from attendance at meetings from the 25th of October 2019 until the annual meeting of the Council on the 21st of May 2020.
Thank you. Is that seconded?
I would like to second that, please, Deputy Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Harvey. Is that agreed?
Agreed.
Item 3, minutes. The minutes of the council meeting held on the 19th of December 2019 are on pages 9 to 24 of the agenda. Do councillors agree that I sign these minutes as a correct record?
Agreed.
Item 4, disclosures of interest. Do any councillors have disclosures of interest? Councillor Fidler.
Thank you, Mr. Deputy Mayor. I would like to make a note of a disclosure of interest in relation to item 10C, the pay policy, in which I would excuse myself due to having a family member that may well be impacted by the decisions. Thank you.
Yes, thank you. Item 5, announcements from the Mayor. Now, I have circulated a list of past and forthcoming events, and I have attended or will attend on behalf of the Mayor, and that's for your information. Item 6, announcements from the Leader. Councillor Harvey, do you have any announcements to make?
Yes, I do, Mr. Deputy Mayor. Thank you very much. You may have read in the press that the Council recently purchased the Elmsley Centre in the heart of Stones upon Thames which provides around one-third of all the retail space in the town. This purchase is a major step forward in Spelthorne Council's wider plans to regenerate Staines upon Thames. Along with our other recent acquisitions, which include the Oast House, Communications House, Thames Side House and Hanover House, the Council is now firmly in the driving seat to deliver the revitalisation of Staines upon Thames. I'm pleased to announce that we have launched a four-week consultation for a new leisure centre which will run from 28th of February to the 27th of March. We are inviting residents to come along to the public exhibition events we're holding at the current leisure centre on the 28th and 29th of February to give them the opportunity to find out more. As well as being online, consultation documents are also available to the council officers, at the leisure centres and at local libraries. To feedback their views, residents can come along to the public event, complete our online survey, email or write to us. Paper copies of the questionnaire are also available. Local businesses are the lifeblood of our borough and I'm looking forward to recognising their achievements at this year's Spelthorne Mead Business Awards. We have award categories to suit all businesses, large or small, so if you are proud of your company's achievements, let us know. Entries open on the 4th of March. It was a pleasure to welcome Prime Minister Boris Johnson and our MP Kwasi Kwarteng to the Charter Building in Uxbridge in January. Spelthorne purchased the Charter Building as an investment in August 2018 and it is now home to a community of local, national and global businesses. The Prime Minister said he was impressed with our investment and was very interested to hear about the Council's commercial strategy. Spelthorne Council held a special memorial event on the 27th of January to mark Holocaust Memorial Day. The commemoration began with a flag-raising ceremony during the day and continued in the evening with music, poems, readings and a heartfelt account from Holocaust survivor Marianne Strathlow, who witnessed the horrors firsthand. Representatives from six religions lit candles to show unity in keeping this year's theme, Stand Together. Excuse me. The Council has fulfilled its commitment to plant a tree in memorial, in memory of every local soldier killed during the First World War. The commitment was made in 2018 as part of the centenary commemoration events, with the first hundred tree being planted in the centenary wood by Leyland Park. Since then, the planting has continued, and all 851 trees, one for every soldier lost, have now been planted as a tribute to the fallen. This year marks the 75th anniversary at the end of the Second World War. The commemorations for VE Day on the 8th of May and VJ Day on the 15th of August are significant milestones and provide an opportunity to reflect on the sacrifice of millions of people. Friday the 8th of May has been designated a national bank holiday and a special ceremony will be held at the War Memorial in Market Square in Staines. On Saturday the 9th of May, the Council and Staines Bid will also be hosting a picnic in the park in the Memorial Gardens in Staines with live music, food and entertainment. Concluding the weekend on Sunday the 10th of May, services will be held at St Hilda's Church in Ashford and St Mary's Church in Sunbury. You will all be aware of the decision issued by the Court of Appeal earlier today on the 3rd Runway Heathrow. It failed because the government had not taken into account the commitment given under the 2015 Paris Agreement to reduce carbon emissions and mitigate climate change. This council has always been consistently clear that expansion cannot be at the expense of local communities or the environment. We do not intend to change from this stance. Our environment and our communities, and particularly Stanmore Moor and Stanmore Village, will be adversely affected by the expansion as currently proposed. We made it clear in our response to Heathrow's consultation last summer that 16 requirements needed to be met for any scheme to be acceptable. One of these was that the scheme must comply with the 2019 Committee on Climate Change Further Ambitions scenario in order to deliver a reduction of 30 million tonnes of CO2 by 2050. In calling for this, the Council has already said that any development must go above and beyond the Paris Agreement. We are saying that Heathrow expansion must deliver a scheme which will limit the temperature increase to 1.5 degrees centigrade, not just simply holding global rises at well below 2 degrees centigrade. The Court of Appeal decision today vindicates our long-held position in ensuring that our environment and our communities are safeguarded and protected. Our stringent stance on global change has been borne out by reality. Finally, members, ladies and gentlemen, I would like to mention our local plan, and in particular Greenbelt. This will feature later in questions and, of course, the petition. I have two updates. You can wait just a second. Following our engagement with the Ministry on the 5th of November, many of you will recall, our MP Kwasi Kwarteng met with the Housing Minister, Robert Jenrick. He did this on Tuesday of this week. I spoke directly to Kwasi earlier this afternoon, and he tells me his meeting with the Minister was positive and constructive. It appears that they are expecting the whole matter will be reviewed after the budget on the 11th of March. I am pleased that Kwasi took the time to have the meeting and to brief me. We will continue to press for a reduction, obviously. Any tangible change will be immediately factored into our emerging local plan with, hopefully, a reduced allocation. Secondly, our focus for any developments will be brownfield sites. However, where we are challenged by developers targeting our greenbelt, we will robustly defend these. So good are our finances that Cabinet have agreed to ring fence at least £900,000 towards this. We will be issuing further details in due course. Councillor Beardsmore, our strategic planning portfolio holder, will be addressing this also later this evening. Thank you, Mr. Deputy Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Harvey. Item 7, announcement from the Chief Executive. Mr. Moore, do you have any announcements to make?
Thank you, Mr. Deputy Mayor. I should like to place on record my appreciation to IT colleagues for minimising the impact of a significant power outage on Sunday the 16th of February. To restore power, a generator was brought onto the site and the IT team literally leapt into action, working late into Sunday night to restore our servers to maintain business continuity. May I take this opportunity to thank the IT team for their continued commitment in supporting a first-class public service provision that supports our communities. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Item 8, questions from members of the public. We have received 10 questions from members of the public, which are set out on the council agenda and in the supplementary pack. All responses provided this evening will be sent in writing to the questioners following the meeting. Some with additional information and the complete response will be included in the minutes of this meeting. Andrew McCluskey, would you kindly come forward to the lectern to ask your question?
Thank you, Mr. Deputy Mayor. I shall resist the temptation to crow over the decision by the Court of Appeal this morning. My question is, given the recent report by the British Heart Foundation indicating that Spelthorne suffers from 11.08 micrograms of particulates per cubic metre in its air, well above the danger level, will the Council reciprocate by bringing in, as a matter of urgency, a clean air zone for the borough? Also, will it oppose Heathrow's potentially immensely polluting third runway plan? Thank you.
Thank you. I call upon the Deputy Leader, Councillor Tony Harman, to respond.
Thank you for your question, Mr. McCluskey. The air quality level quoted in the question is taken from central government modelling. Measured levels at monitors in Oaks Road, Stanwell and Sunbury Cross in 2018 were lower and below the World Health Organization's guideline. Full details will be supplied in the written response. A clean air zone defines an area where targeted action is taken to improve air quality to deliver health benefits while supporting economic growth. Action includes access restrictions to encourage cleaner vehicles and a particular focus on measures to accelerate the transition to a low emission economy. There can be two categories. One, non-charging clean air zones, which are defined geographically in areas used as a focus for action to improve air quality. And two, charging clean air zones, where in addition to the above, vehicle owners are required to pay a charge to enter or move within a zone if their vehicle does not meet specific emission standards. Implementation of such zones requires at least a 3 to 5 year lead-in to allow businesses and individuals to adjust. Spelthorne is not able to establish a charging clean air zone as the power to introduce such a zone rests with Surrey County Council as the highways authority. In addition, Spelthorne already has a whole borough air quality management area and management area which has a similar function to a non-charging clean air zone. Details of progress with air quality action can be found in our 2019 annual status report to DEFRA, which is available on our website. The link to this will be provided in the written response. The Council is currently participating in a joint project with Surrey County Council to pilot electric vehicle charging infrastructure at 20 on-street parking bays across the borough. And we are currently recruiting a temporary air quality officer to develop the Council's new quality action plan. The Council's position on Heathrow expansion was recently decided at the full Council meeting of 24th October 2019, and a motion was put forward and carried. This Council caveats its support for a third one-way and appropriate and proportionate expansion subject to Heathrow meeting A, the 16 requirements as recommended by Overview and Scrutiny at its extraordinary meeting on the 3rd of September 2019, and B, our demands that our impacted communities be properly compensated by the wider property offer zone scheme. Our demands include requirements in respect of air quality impacts and impacts on other environmental issues, and these can be viewed in the minutes of the Council meeting on our website. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor. We now would ask Anthony Woodward to come forward to ask his question.
Good evening. The question I would like to ask is, when will Spelthorne Council follow the lead of Parliament, Surrey County Council and numerous other local authorities in declaring a climate emergency and ensure that future decisions and actions of the Council are subject to environmental impact assessments and are in line with reducing carbon emissions and the impacts of climate change?
Thank you. I call upon the leader, Councillor Harvey, to respond.
Thank you, Mr. Deputy Mayor. Mr. Woodward, this Council strongly believes that climate change urgently needs addressing, but we do not feel that we must declare a climate emergency in order to deliver meaningful action. We believe in action, not words. In October 2019, the Council committed to establishing a Leaders Climate Change Working Group, which had been tasked to deliver a strategy this year outlining how we plan to deliver the target of net zero carbon emissions by 2050, in line with current government policy. This working group will report back to Cabinet regularly on proposed actions on climate change. and will monitor delivery to ensure we are hitting our targets. If we can deliver those targets sooner than 2050, we will of course do so. And any objectives we do have will also be continually reviewed and amended in line with changes in government policy. Environmental impact assessments are an important tool in helping ensure that our decisions and actions will deliver benefits to communities and the zero carbon target. All future decisions of the Council will consider all environmental and sustainability issues, as such decisions will influence our ability to meet net zero emissions by 2050 or earlier. Thank you, Mr. Deputy Mayor. Mr. Woodward.
Thank you, Leader. Will Thomas Bailey please come forward next? Thank you.
As a pupil at Thamesmead School, I am seeing disposable plastic bottles and all sorts of single-use plastics ending up in bins or even on the floor after only being used once. This goes on every day in schools across the local area, and on a large scale is not only very harmful for the wildlife, but also unnecessary when they could be replaced by usable bottles, by reusable bottles. My question is, what is the council doing to counteract the unnecessary plastic waste in schools?
Thank you, Thomas. It really gives us great encouragement to see a young ambassador amongst us tonight. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I call upon Deputy Leader, Councillor Tony Harman, to respond.
Thank you very much for your question, Mr. Bailey. Spelthorne Council supports our schools in the management of a disposal of waste. We advise on what can and can't be recycled, including food waste, how best to dispose of waste generated, and we provide information and bins adequate for the school's needs. We also visit schools to talk to pupils about sustainability, waste reduction, and the correct and responsible disposal of rubbish. This council has a single-use plastic policy, an action plan, and we promote the reduction in single-use items as part of our sustainability and waste management campaigns. As Surrey County Council has overall responsibility for education, it is important that they help in implementing these policies and actions within schools. Thank you for your question.
Thank you, Councillor. Thank you. The next question is from Caroline Nichols, who is unable to attend this evening. Mrs. Nichols had indicated that she is content to receive a written response, so we shall not read out her question. The question and response will be included in the minutes of this meeting. May I now invite Chris Pye to come forward to ask your question.
At the Cabinet meeting on 29th of January, the response to petitions submitted by residents from Charlton Village, Shepperton, Sunbury and Stanwell, which raised issues about the local plan Greenbelt proposals, was to note the petitions and ask the local plan working party to review the matters they had raised. Also, in responding to these petitions, Councillor Beardsmore said he could not answer the petitions specifically because more analysis was needed. When will the local plan working party report back to the petitioners, and when will local residents see the results of the analysis of the submissions?
Thank you, Chris. I now call upon Councillor Beardsmore, Strategic Planning Portfolio Holder, to respond.
Thank you very much, Mr. Hyde. It is hoped that the recommendations from the Local Plan Working Party will go to Cabinet on the 25th of March. That is a tight deadline, but those recommendations will be a public document. All representation received to the local plan preferred options consultation are currently being reviewed by officers and will be made public in due course. The council will also produce a response document responding to the main issues in the consultation, and all this will be published on our website. Just a few facts and figures of where we are and what we're dealing with. There were 1,987 representations by 1,032 people. 370 comments were made on policies, 1,617 on sites. These ranged from a single sentence to a 350-page PDF. Many of the professional representations were uploaded as PDFs. At the moment, they are being treated as a single submission and a single comment, though they are likely to cover a whole range of issues, and we'll have to go through all those individually. These numbers do not include the petitions, as some people signing petitions will also have made individual comments. As for where this process goes now, the local plan process, the next consultation will be about this time next year. It's a Regulation 19 consultation. That means something different. It means you bypass Spelthorne. So far, all consultations and all responses, they come to us. Regulation 19 bypasses us. We just act as a clearinghouse. So if you don't like anything we've said and done, you go straight over our heads, and those responses will go to the inspector directly. All we do is handle them. Following that, it is hoped to have a public inquiry into our plan in June, but knowing the way pins work, you'll need some flexibility on that. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Councillor.
The next question is from Margaret Malowska, who is unable to be present tonight, but has asked that I read the questions on her behalf. I will read each in turn and ask the leader to respond to each. Number one, Spelthorne came bottom of Friends of the Earth rankings of every single council in the country for your environmental record. What are you going to do to take action on the climate and ecological emergency? I call on Councillor Ian Harvey to respond.
Thank you, Mr. Deputy Mayor. This council strongly refutes a number of key points in the research undertaken by Friends of the Earth, which led to the publication of the report you refer to. It was evident that the methodology used and data drawn from it was nearly a decade old. It did not take into account the fact that the energy efficiency of housing in the borough has improved significantly since that time, and they used generalised tree cover estimates that did not take into account the fact that much of the borough is covered in water. On publication of the figures, we contacted Friends of the Earth, and they apologised for the misinformation and agreed the data was old and out of date, but offered to work with us going forwards. In October 2019, this council resolved to work closely with the government, the Environment Agency, our county colleagues, local businesses, residents and other partners to deliver carbon neutrality by 2050. I personally ordered the setting up of the Leaders Climate Change Working Group to explore ways to cut our carbon and other harmful emissions. A key task of that group will be to update our climate change and sustainability strategy in 2020 to ensure that we can deliver this target. It is worth highlighting, however, that this council has been proactively reducing carbon emissions on our estate for a number of years, resulting in a 38% reduction in emissions since 2009.
Thank you, Councillor. The second question is, there is a legal obligation on pension fund managers to get the highest returns. So now that fossil fuel investments have been shown to perform poorly against non-fossil fuel investments, what action will Spelthorne and Surrey councils be taking to divest their 150 million of fossil fuel investments away from fossil fuels, both in the interest of financial sense and to avoid making already dire climate and ecological emergency even worse? I call upon the leader.
Thank you, Mr. Deputy Mayor. Surrey Pension Fund understands and recognises the severity of climate change as an environmental and financial risk. However, it chooses to engage and not divest. Some key actions the fund has taken recently include holding an indexed low carbon fund with Legal & General valued at £391.2 million as at the 31st of December 2019, and also making a €40 million commitment to Glenmont Clean Energy Infrastructure Fund in December 2018. Becoming a supporter of the Task Force for Climate-Related Financial Disclosures, where the fund will report against climate-related financial disclosures in its 2019-2020 annual report. A link to this will be provided in a written response. The Climate Action 100 Plus report reported 2018 greenhouse emissions based on information submitted to the Carbon Disclosure Project per sector. It shows that approximately 70% of total reported emissions in 2018 were from sectors outside of oil and gas. A link in further detail will be provided also in the written response. Divesting as a sector-wide strategy is therefore seen as more of a symbolic move as opposed to making a tangible difference in reducing the world's carbon emissions. It ignores the importance all sectors play. Engaging in high-emitting industries reliant on fossil fuels in order to influence and change their behaviour is equally as important as engaging with its suppliers. Further information is provided in the written response. Thank you, Mr. Deputy Mayor.
Thank you, Peter. Question three. Will you work in partnership with Extinction Rebellion to secure a just transition into a zero carbon future, as Wakefield Council recently decided to? Please give your reasons for the answer. I call upon the leader.
Thank you, Mr. Deputy Mayor. I make no comment about Wakefield, having lived there once. In addressing climate change, the Leaders Climate Change Working Group will consult and work with a wide range of organisations, including public sector partners, businesses, and other community stakeholders, with the aim of encouraging our whole community to work with us in moving to a zero carbon economy. We recognise that this transition will mean that we will all need to do things differently, as carbon intensive jobs are replaced with low and zero carbon employment. But with the support of everyone working together, we believe that this can be achieved whilst maintaining this borough's thriving economy. Thank you, Mr. Deputy Mayor.
Thank you. And question seven. Would Udo Klenzitz please come forward to ask your question? Could you please ask one at a time and we'll respond to each one?
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to be here. So my first question is about the council itself. What is it doing to actively encourage developers to offset negative environmental impact or build and develop with a positive environmental impact?
Thank you. I call upon Strategic Planning Portfolio Holder, Councillor Ian Beardsmore.
Thank you very much, Mr. Planet. In terms of potential allocation of sites, a sustainability appraisal has been undertaken for every site to identify possible negative impacts and mitigation measures. Developers will be expected to have regard to these allocations that are included in the plan and planning applications as submitted. The new local plan also includes draft policies on E4, which is blue and green infrastructure, E3, environmental protection, and DS2, sustainable design, renewable, low carbon energy. In addition, policy requires all planning applications to achieve a high net gain in biodiversity. All developers will need to follow these policies to overcome the environmental issues and impacts to make a positive impact on the borough.
Thank you. Please ask your second question.
Thank you. When assessing and identifying areas for development, what environmental impact assessment criteria does the council apply?
I call on Councillor Beardsmore.
Thank you. Sustainability appraisal work is undertaken to assess all the sites against the sustainability framework. This identifies any potential adverse impacts, social, environmentally, and economically, and seeks to minimise them. Our site selection methodology document also includes sections on biodiversity, flood risk, contamination, and landscape, to name a few. A link, there's an evidence base attached to the answer to this question. There is a link to those documents there.
Thank you. Thank you.
Please ask your last question.
And then, specific to the 19 greenbelt areas proposed for release, what action does the council propose in order so the awarding is based on the application of environmental and sustainability criteria, such as life cycle assessment or circular economy, recyclability of components, and offsetting lost habitat on site, such as, for example, vegetated roof areas, urban farming, and carbon neutral performance?
Okay, never mind. The sustainability appraisal, again, is a key mechanism to local plan process to spot potentially adverse impacts and identify ways of overcoming them. This is an important consideration in determining which sites to take forward. I would hope very much to see planning policies being brought in to enforce carbon neutral planning. Unfortunately, I'm less convinced than some about this government's intentions and commitment to carbon neutrality, as they would have to reconcile this with their driving policy of forcing councils to consume greenbelt housing. And where I come from, those two don't work together. Finally, for the record, 14th of February, Valentine's Day, the council, the government, wrote a very nasty letter to this council. We're not building enough houses, and we better damn well get on and build a lot more quickly. It now means we are minus, we've got a 20% liability on our housing supply. And they told me this, or told us this. The government intends to increase the thresholds for the presumption in favour of sustainable development early next year to drive up delivery. No, I'm not sure what it means either, but I know what drive up delivery means. So I, reading that as it stands, looks like they're going to increase sustainability and build more houses. I remain to be convinced.
Thank you, Councillor. Thank you. May I now invite Siobhan Malloy to come forward.
Good evening, everybody. As one of the 5,000 people who signed the recent petition that demanded that Spelthorne Borough Council not build on green belt sites, and also in light of today's legal ruling that the Heathrow expansion plans are illegal, as the climate crisis must be considered in all planning decisions, the initiators of the petition have asked the council, as is our right under the council's own policy on petitions, to call a public meeting to discuss this issue. When does the council plan to hold this public meeting?
Thank you. I call on the leader, Councillor Ian Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Deputy Mayor. It does appear that the question read out is slightly different to that presented.
Yes, it is.
However, the scripted answer I've got is, the petition is on the agenda for debate immediately after the public questions tonight in a few minutes. Your question will be responded to when we discuss the call for a public meeting during that item.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Leader. Would Malcolm Beecher please come forward to ask his question?
Thank you, Mr. Deputy Mayor. In response to Surrey County Council's commitment to plant 1,200,000 new trees across the county to mitigate increasing carbon dioxide levels, Spelthorne Borough would be expected to accommodate planting approximately 109,000 trees over and above any commitments by Spelthorne Borough Council to plant and replace trees associated with developments and ash dieback. This new commitment will require at least 40 hectares of land, and maybe even 100 hectares, depending on the species to be planted. In light of this, please can you confirm how engaged the Council is with this pledge, and what targets Belthorne Borough Council is proposing for planting of new trees in the borough, both in terms of land area and number of trees to be planted? A, in total. B, what land has already been identified to the Council's knowledge, including any land that is owned, leased or managed by the Council? Finally, C, alongside the budget set aside by Surrey County Council, what budget and or resources has Belthorne Borough Council allocated to this?
Thank you, Mr. Beecher. I call upon Councillor Ian Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Deputy Mayor. Mr. Beecher. In May 2020, Surrey County Council will be launching the new trees and climate change strategies, but at present we have no further details of their plans. This council fully understands the important role trees play in mitigating carbon dioxide levels, and over the last two winters we have planted, as already mentioned earlier, 851 trees in our parks. Once the county council's tree strategy is made publicly available, we will consider what additional budget and other resources we can provide to help deliver the project aims. In identifying new locations for trees, we will, however, have to consider both the status of the land and its biodiversity value before any additional planting is undertaken.
Thank you, Councillor. Finally, may I invite Kath Saunders to come forward to ask her questions.
Good evening, everyone. So, Councillor Beardsmore, Portfolio Holder for Strategic Planning, regarding the local plan proposals to release some of Spelthorne's Greenbelt for housing and economic development. I support all work being done to reduce the proposed housing requirement of 603 homes per annum to a much more manageable and sustainable level. However, my concerns for Spelthorne's Greenbelt remain. Spelthorne Borough Council stated in its consultation document that only 1.6% of Spelthorne's greenbelt would be required to be released under current proposals. Please could the Council give an estimate of what percentage of remaining potentially developable greenbelt land this represents? Please exclude all water bodies, flood zone 3B, that's 1-in-20-year event land, any other non-developable land, and land previously developed or with planning consent under very special circumstances, e.g. schools, Spelthorne Gym and Shepperton Studios. That's the first part.
Thank you. I call upon Councillor Beardsmore, Strategic Planning Portfolio Holder, to respond.
Thank you very much. I like this question. I think it's very important. It hits the nail on the head. It recognises the unique land use and geography of Spelthorne, which most people actually seem to miss, and which for us produces a very unique set of issues and constraints. Some know our MP went to see the Minister at some point on our behalf. I know this was part of his briefing because I co-wrote it. And of course we now know he has seen the Minister, and we now have to wait for what he comes up with, and I'm going to reserve my judgment until I see what he comes up with and what the result is. There is an evidence table attached to the question, but I can tell you now that flood zone 3B, sites of SSIs, SPAs, common land, all within Spelthorne and water, amount to 50% of our greenbelt. Within that, 1,119 hectares of green belt, or 34%, is actually water proper. Also in that table, there is an error. It says that 7.6 hectares of green belt is residential. No, it's not. It's 1.09. And that 1.09 where green belt was actually washed over existing housing is historic. So there is an error in the table. It's not 7.6 hectares. We do not hold data for previously developed land area. in Greenbelt, but we do have information on current planning permissions, which is approximately 70 hectares of land. And all of this is previously developed land with the exception of Partnership and Studio site. And as I said, there is a table summarising that in this, but it doesn't actually, the water is 119 and only 1.09 residential. Thank you.
Very good question.
Please proceed.
Thank you. Also, please could the council clarify which additional greenbelt sites the council has identified in its latest SLAA as likely to be susceptible to acquisition by Heathrow Expansion? It seems to state in its local plan document that this piece of work had been done per the SLAA July 2019 section 2.10, and it would be good to have an understanding of the likely extent of these. My overriding concern is for the sustainability of current proposals, and I believe answers to the above would help inform residents and other stakeholders as to the most likely current threats to Spelthorne's Greenbelt. It would also give a more realistic picture overall of the challenges facing the borough, especially if the likely effects of Heathrow expansion on the transport network and air pollution were to be taken into account. I don't think this has been done in the latest published strategic highways assessment.
Thank you very much. Well, we now all know the good news that we heard about Heathrow today, which is a major step in the right direction, as far as I'm concerned. So, in a way, it's a bit difficult to answer this question of where are we going. The map show, I'll read up what I've written, because it was written before today. The map showing the preferred master plan is available on page 53 of Heathrow's document. It shows a development consent order boundary. Now that's the boundary that Heathrow are taking that effectively is there, and it includes 4.5% of Spelthorne. Zones H, page 97, J, page 101, and U, page 141, fall into Spelthorne, and information is available on the potential uses of these. The strategic highways assessment looks at committed development as well as other scenarios. More work on the transport impacts will be undertaken for Regulation 19 consultation once we have finalised our site allocations. Further traffic modelling for Heathrow Airport is expected to be released into the public domain at their focused consultation beginning in April 2020. Don't think so. However, Spelthorne Borough Council and Surrey County Council officers have been involved with the impacts on the transport network and air quality through engagement with Heathrow on the expansion proposals. Of course, most of that part of the answer is not relevant now, but there is actually within the evidence section also a link to the Heathrow site, so it may still be there if you want to check anything. Thank you very much for the question.
Thank you, Councillor Bisborne. Thank you.